Well, I'll get right to it. We have had quite a week of headlines in the news, haven't we? It seems like every minute something else is assaulting our brain, and we wonder what in the world is going on. And I'm not just talking about our own national situation, I'm talking about the entire world. There are riots in Hong Kong. There is talk of a global recession. There's talk of a national recession. And of course, on the national level, there's talk of impeachment. And I'm afraid this is all causing the division that's in our nation to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. I still haven't recovered from 2016. In 2016, during that election, I know that friends and family became very, very upset with me because I disagreed. It seems like we live in a world where we no longer agree to disagree, and rather instead of doing that, we take the "you're out of my life" approach. So I worry about living a faith in these anxious times where if I say something that might be challenging, people will turn off or tune out, and people will stop speaking to each other. Feel the same way sometimes? Feel like not going on social media because you might be afraid of what someone might post? Ever be so tempted to correct someone on social media to the point where your friendship might dissolve? Ever just refrain from saying things at family dinners or at work just because of the times that we live in? And where does our faith play into this? Wednesday night, I said the line, and I'll repeat it, that the more things change, the more they remain the same. And when Jesus gives these words to the first disciples and to us, things are very, very much the same back then. For the times have always been anxious, the times have always been contentious, and people have always been at odds with one another. And it's far, far easier to cut off than to agree to disagree. And when the disciples ask for more faith, I get that, because they're worried about doing ministry in their anxious, anxious times. And it's the same request I've made over and over again myself. I said, please give me more faith, especially as I minister in 2019, going on to 2020 and another election year. I get where the disciples are coming from. For Jesus has demanded hard things from them. He said, you have to forgive, and 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 you have to forgive. That's what they're reacting to. They say, hey, help us to forgive others. And before that, he says, hey, you got to give up your life. You have to give up all to follow me. And so when they say increase our faith, I think, hey, that's a perfectly reasonable request. It's the same one I've said over and over again many times in the car, increase my faith, give me faith. And I've been mistaken because I've confused faith with trust. Because sometimes when I say give me faith, I don't want faith. I just want the blessed assurance that it's going to be all right, that things will get better, that peace will prevail. And so when Jesus gives what seems to be this harsh rebuke, it's not a rebuke as much as it is a correction. He's saying, you don't know what you're asking for. For faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb. And he says, you already have enough. But sometimes we think the more, the better. Because sometimes we think that, okay, for the world to change, a big action has to happen. And enough faith will have us be able to change an entire congregation, perhaps a family, perhaps a neighborhood, perhaps a town, a state, a country, the world. Who knows? Sometimes it might, but usually not. For faith often is small. Ever cook a meal for someone who's been newly widowed? That's faith. Ever send a letter to someone with a stick of gum in, out of the blue? That's faith. Ever send a card or an email to someone you might think that needs it? That's faith. Those things that we say, oh, it was nothing, don't mention it. Really? Oh, really that? Like that? Those are the acts of faith that change the world of another. See, we're not called to move mulberry trees into oceans, but we are called to love and to forgive and to make a difference in the lives of others. And usually that can happen and does happen in gestures that we think are insignificant, that we ourselves forgot that we have done, but you know what? The recipient hasn't forgotten. And the recipient remembers for life. We change the world of the other through our small acts of faith. And our acts of faith are small because you know what? The last time I looked, I'm not God and you're not either. We do what we can do. We do what we're called to do. We do what God gives us the ability to do. So, as we go on now in these anxious times, we have to do two things. We have to imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have our small acts of faith going. And we also have to remember to do those small acts of faith and increase them. Perhaps even to the point if someone is no longer speaking to us because of these times, that we take that first brave step and write a note or an email saying, hey, I miss you. Let's talk. But also it is to make more casseroles, to make more dinners, to send more cards, to send more notes, to give more small gifts. Not for our sake, but for the sake of the other, and also because that's what we're called to do. And by the way, the text is really, really harsh, and that's a problem with translation. Worthless slaves is not a correct translation. Unworthy is better. And the unworthy comes from the fact that we have already received the greatest gift there is. That in our faith, we have fellowship with God and with each other. And that's the reward. We rest and rejoice in the reward already given. And in response, we do the acts of faith we are capable of, knowing that there is no such thing as a small act of faith, but it's a faith that is enough. And with that, what else can we say? And we'll say, to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.